Sometimes we hear hymns and sing them, hearing God's word, and ask ourselves whether it is so. And I believe we come always together because we found out that we missed out, that God is not yet with us there where He wants us to be. In faith and confidence toward God, we will hear His word, receiving it and let it work in us. I believe with all of us, it's more or less the same. We want that God comes to His right. We feel that time is coming to its end. This nobody needs to make us clear here. This we recognized on the basis of the scripture, on the basis of the signs of the time. Bible prophecy is being fulfilled on all levels, in every way. Nobody can bypass it who has read the word of God and who believes it. The question which we have to ask ourselves is, what task did God give us? What responsibility He has laid on us, who we have heard His revealed word in these days, and who we believe it? We are not coming here to just play church or to have a bit entertainment, but we come here because it draws us, because we have a longing to have a new encounter and a new experience with God. I am very grateful for last night, and God has today new blessings. A man who wants to go forward with God must always have both in a balance with Him. On one hand, he must have a little self-assessment, thinking nothing of himself, that he can nothing, that he knows nothing, but by it it may not remain. He must then have a trust in God, looking up to Him, knowing that He is strong in the weak, that He wants to manifest Himself as He did then. And in this mind we come together. And I think we should spend some time together in prayer before God. Brother Branham said, you can do many things too much. You can eat too much, you can drink too much, you can sing too much and speak too much, but he says, you can never pray too much. And if we seek the presence of God in prayer, really seeking it, and ask the Lord and say, thy will be done, speak to me personally, lay your hand on my life and bring me there where you want me to be. Maybe it will also be necessary that we, the earthly cares and the earthly realms, that we put them on hold in those days, and that all our thinking and speaking deals about spiritual things, and that we speak about the earthly things only if it is really necessary. We must redeem such hours, really redeeming them, asking the Lord to be gracious to us. Let us once again stand up and pray. There are some special prayer requests which we absolutely have to bring to the Lord in faith and in reverence. We come to to the throne of grace, which is sprinkled with the blood of the sacrifice. And we lay before you this gathering, and likewise all prayer requests, all petitions. Dear Savior, you became surety for every promise. All promises of God are yes and amen. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord, we thank you for it. You know the needs of the individuals. We remember especially our precious sister in Switzerland. Lord, may you stretch forth thine arm. May you work a miracle of healing and of deliverance in her, to confirm your word, to glorify your name, to raise her up again, and to comfort her and to strengthen her. Lord, you know the many needs, and we ask you, increase our faith. Increase our faith in you and in the finished work of redemption. Lord, that we could look at the enemy as being defeated and looking at you as the victor of Calvary. O God, glorify thy name. You have made your word great and wonderful among your people. And we ask you, let the time come in which we literally see the ruling of our Lord. Lord, everybody can celebrate services. Everybody can listen to a sermon, wherever it might be. We want to hear you, your word, and we want to see you walking in our midst. We want to hear what the Spirit says unto the churches, and we want to face the chastisement of your Spirit and the leading of your Spirit. Lord, come to your right. Claim your people. Work a whole devotion, a whole sacrifice on your altar. See, Lord, you know, as the German song goes, we only want to walk after your Spirit. Help us with it and be merciful to us. Also now we ask you, beloved Savior, may you rule over this meeting. We place ourselves under the coverage of the blood, and we ask you for the leading of the Holy Spirit. Lord, one word from the most holy place will mean more to us than 1,000 other words. My God, make us your word to a living food and revelation. O Lord, we thank you once again for this opportunity that we can come together. May it be an intimate, loving fellowship with you. For you loved us out, and we may love you in return. Thank you. Thank you so much that you accomplished the redemption. You cried out in agony, "It is finished." We thank you for it. You have done it. In me you have done it. In us you have done it. Honor, praise and glory be to your wonderful name. Hallelujah. Amen. 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 You may be seated. May it be true that we could love him with the same love in return, and also one another as he loved us. I would like to remember to that what Brother Branham was told by revelation. In this divine love, the work will find its completion. Not in a high knowledge, not in special doctrines or revelations, but that God can place us into his plan, embedded in his grace and in his divine love. This is the way of God with the church. In this world, it will continue to go down the tube. There is no hope anymore. But with the people of God, it will continue to get better. Better things will come. As true as God lives, he will reach the destination with his bright church. Also there, we don't put our hope in us, but on him who has called us with such a high calling. And his decisions are irreversible. He doesn't call you today and sends you away tomorrow. Before the foundation of the world, he determined things, and in the course of time, he called, and the people who were his divine seed have, in all the generations, opened their heart and believed the message which was brought at that time, and by it were numbered to the people of God. Today, it is required from us that we not only have a general belief, but the faith in the promises of God, which were given to us for this time. And by it, it is confirmed that we do not bypass God and his word, and are trapped in own programs. We want to be prisoners of Jesus Christ. We want to be led away by him. We want to say, Lord, here we are, take us. Paul could say then, I, the prisoner of Christ, write unto you. But the same Paul has written in the same connection, the word of God is not in chains. Although if people sometimes are constricted a bit by circumstances, the word of God was sent to us to make us free, to make us well, to give the difference between what is right and what is not right. At this place, we believe with all our heart that we live in the last generation. We believe out of full conviction that Brother Branham was not only an evangelist among many, but a man sent from God with a message of God for the people of God. But we don't believe that one should make idolatry with him. We believe that he was a word prophet, and that we were brought back into the word. And as long as God gives us grace, we will not turn to any interpretations, but we will always search the Holy Scriptures, whether the things are so. This is, in this time, more necessary than ever before. Never was the term revelation and these things so widespread as in our time. We can do without any revelation if it doesn't come from the Word and does not lead into the Word. Every revelation which comes from God comes through the Word, and the Spirit makes us the Word alive and reveals unto us what God plans with us. Let me just briefly read some scriptures or refer to them. And then from the last Easter sermon, which Brother Branham preached, read also some lines from it. In Psalms, we were reading, "Blessed is the man who fears the Lord." How can we know whether we fear the Lord? We can say, "Lord, I have the fear of God." But is it right? Wherein is actually manifested that we truly have the fear of God? And that this fear of God which we have is then the beginning of the divine wisdom. That's what the scripture says. The fear of God is the beginning of wisdom. There are so many wise people without the fear of God, and they want to share their wisdom with others. But with this wisdom, we can do nothing. The wisdom of God is firstly pure, peaceful. You can read it in James. A divine wisdom has nothing to do with bossiness and know-it-all. If God has revealed His Word unto us by His grace, then we have to receive it in holy reverence and hear then His words as Moses heard them. "Put off your shoes, for the ground on which you stand is holy." Why was the ground holy? Because the Holy One spoke there, and somebody was ready to hear what was said. It's not the mountain that is holy, and not the site, or the land, or the room. It's the Holy God who draws nigh to His people, who can sanctify the people, the room, the whole surroundings. And then we are in His holy presence and hear His word. "Unto the upright there arises light in darkness. He is gracious and full of compassion and righteous." What a wonderful word. In Psalms 111 verse 4 it says, "He has made His wonderful works to be remembered. The Lord is gracious and full of compassion. He has given food unto them that fear Him. He will ever be mindful of His covenant." Everything interlocks so nicely. Everything divine runs in a total harmony. The fear of God, the beginning of wisdom. To them who fear God, He has given food, giving them hidden manna, and takes them into His Holy of Holies, brings them before the Ark of the Covenant. And in the Ark was the manna and also the Word of God. There, where the Word of God really is, there's also spiritual food. Their mysteries are being revealed, and then we notice that we are dealing with God. Just one more verse, verse 6. "He has shewed His people the power of His works." Isn't this wonderful? He has shewed His people the power of His works. From the prophet Isaiah, I wanted to read from chapter 55. maybe one or two verses. Isaiah 55, the second part of verse 2, and then also verse 3. Isaiah 55, the last part of the second verse, and verse 3. Hearken diligently unto me, and eat ye that which is good, and let your soul delight itself in fatness. Incline your ear, and come unto me. Hear, and your soul shall live. And I will make an everlasting covenant with you. Just like the reliable covenantal promises I made to David. What a promise. What a word. It not only speaks to us, it means us. We are meant with it. And we want today incline our ear to the Lord. Not to the people, and most certainly not to the enemy, but to the Lord. The Lord claims our life. He wants that we hear what He has to say to us. People have much to tell, but it does more harm than good. The Lord never harmed anyone by His speaking. Just the contrary. Them who were harmed, He helped. He raised them up. He showed them mercy and compassion. Show me one case in the Holy Scripture where the Lord would have met someone on whom He would not have shown Himself as merciful and full of compassion. Time and again, and this is the core of the gospel, in the practice, in the proclamation, we present our Lord as the crucified one into the center, but then follow all the deeds which surrounded the Lord. And we read over and again what kind of compassion was in Him. He saw the people and He felt sorry for them. When there was nothing to eat, then He multiplied the bread. When the sick came, He healed them. When sinners came, He forgave them. And the Pharisees thought in their heart, who is this that He forgives sins? Only God can forgive sins. They didn't realize that the Lord stood before them. They saw the outward shell, but they didn't know who was hidden in it. Hearken diligently unto me, and eat ye that which is good, and let your soul delight itself in fatness. Also today, and if I may just mention this again, if we have read the sermons of Brother Branham properly, then we may say it is a strong food. It is God's mighty revealed word. And it never stood out to me in my life as on last Sunday in Zurich. I saw the book table, and with certainty more than 100 sermons have been laid out. Sister Münch, she knows how to do it nicely in an order. I've seen it before me. And I thought, my God, what a grace You have given to us, that we can have all these sermons, that we can read, that we can deepen ourselves in it, that it has become our spiritual food. It overwhelmed me so much. If I would have had a camera with me, then I would have made a picture of it. Beloved, God looked at us graciously. While so many are walking on their own ways, in their own programs, God placed Himself in our way and has taken us on His way and revealed unto us His word and His will. From the sermon of Brother Branham, I would like to read the following. It is sermon number 10, The Rising of the Sun, or The Quickening Power, page 8. He redeemed you, a seed that was foreknown by God, whose names was put on the Lamb's Book of Life before the foundation of the world. And here they were on the earth without hope. But He came not only to be a blessing, but to share the blessing with every predestinated seed. This is a wonderful thought. He not only came to be a blessing, to save and to heal. He came to share His blessing with His own, to let us have part in His life, in His grace, in His word, in His power, in His blessing. Here are two special thoughts. The one, that the predestinated seed was here, but that it had to be redeemed to then return to God, and that the Lord, our Redeemer, shares His blessing with His people. If we have been blessed, then of course with the blessing of God. Our Lord said to Abraham, I will bless thee, and thou shalt be a blessing. What a promise! We are, by His grace, the seed of Abraham, and we may be blessed and pass on the blessing of God. Is this your desire? To be blessed? And I like to read this sentence again. However, He came not only to be a blessing, but to share the blessing with every predestinated seed. To share the blessing, to continue the same ministry, to carry on the same word. There is only one kingdom of God. There is only one church of the living God. And our Lord took the word church only once in His mouth. But this is enough for us. He said, I will build My church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. They will try it. They will leave no stone unturned. But we have been placed upon the ground of faith and upon the victory ground. The gates of hell cannot prevail against the church, because the head of the church, Jesus Christ, has overcome the gates of hell. This is the gospel of Jesus Christ our Lord. And what does the Holy Scripture say? Whoever is overcome by the other one, he must serve him. We believe that the Lord has won, that He has overcome death, devil, and hell. And we are under the blood of the new covenant and have a right in every promise, in everything what God has given to us. There hell can rage. It's a conquered enemy. And we can forget it if we really believe in our Lord. Then we should speak less of the power of Satan and more of God's omnipotence. Then we would glorify the Lord. Then we would give Him the time and also the thanks. It continues. Notice, He came to share it with us. He came to share it with us. No wonder the gospel is good news. The very word gospel means the good news. Why a good news? If a man died for our sake, that's good news. That Christ was born, that's good news. But never was there news like this message, that He who made this promise has confirmed that promise, that He is alive forevermore, and that He has the keys of both death and hell in His hand. A good news, gospel, a happy-making message. Our Lord paid the most expensive price. He has overcome everything and conquered, and we may receive gifts from Him. Here's the word shareholder. It comes now. A passage. We, as the shareholders of this life, must prove that now His life is in us. Our Savior said then, "Not I do these works, but the Father who dwells in me, He does His works." Today, we as believers should be able to say, not we do these works, but He who died for us and who is risen and who dwells in us, He does His works through us. This is the part which we received. For, perhaps I read it again. We, His beneficiaries, are to prove His life is in us now. There never was a life lived like this. He was the Son of God, and He died, and that shut it out. But when He raised again from the dead on Easter morning, then we, as His servants, are commissioned by Him to go into all the world and to bring this good news to every person that He is alive. And how can we do it by word only? For it is written, the gospel came not by word only, but through the power and the manifestation of the Holy Spirit to prove that He is alive. A hymn writer sings, Jesus lives, with Him me too. Death, where's your horror? Here it shall now be manifested that we believe, as the scripture says, and that the promises which were given to us are fulfilled through us, just as all promises which were said in reference to Him were fulfilled in Him and through Him. That we could dedicate ourselves to God by faith, not courtly, this I do now and then God will be honored. God is not honored by what you and I do. God can only be honored by that what He can do through you and me. Do we get the difference? On that day, many will come and say, Lord, have we not done this and that in your name? The Lord will say, I'm sorry, I don't even know you. This means you have never had an encounter with me. We are strangers to one another. We don't know each other. And nevertheless, great things they have done. Beloved, the true church ascribes nothing to herself because she can do nothing at all. But she makes herself available to the head and says, Lord, here is my mouth, here are my feet, here are my hands. Do you want to use me? Then do it. Sanctify me in thy presence and use me. Let me have a part in your blessing, which I can then pass on. God wants to let the river of blessing flow out from under the threshold of the temple, to speak with the prophet Ezekiel. The temple, an indicator to the church. Jesus, our Lord, created this body as the temple of God. And if we, as members of His body, are put together, then He also wants to move them. There shall come life into the body. The Spirit of the Lord shall put this body on its feet, and then we shall see the mighty deeds of our God. We don't look on us. We look to the Lord, and as certain as every word which referred to Him was fulfilled, so certain every word which He gave to the church will be fulfilled through the church. The Scripture cannot be broken, and the omnipotence of God will not fail because of our impotence. Our impotence will fail before His omnipotence, and then we lay ourselves anew upon the potter's wheel and say, Lord, form out of me a vessel for your glory. And then we realized that with what we can and want, nothing could be achieved at all. And then we notice that it is the Word which accomplishes for what it was sent for. For it does not return void unto God. That's how it is also written in the prophet Isaiah. The word which proceedeth forth from my mouth will not return void unto me, unless it has accomplished for what it was sent for. And there the Lord gives the wonderful comparison of the rain and of the snow. It saturates the earth. There is a blessing in it. New life comes forth. Beloved, the Word is the divine seed, and we as the children of God were born from this divine seed through the Spirit, and therefore we have a relation and a connection to the Word and not to the interpretations. And these are two fundamentally different things. On one hand, the Word, and on the other hand, the interpretation. He who was born again by the divine seed of the Word, he has a connection, a relation, a drag to the Word of God. He closes his ear to everything else and opens himself up to the speaking of the Lord, to the precious and holy Word of God. We believe, as the Bridegroom became the Word made flesh and dwelt amongst us, so in the Bride, the Word becomes flesh and we will see that the promises suddenly were realized and have become a divine reality, as then in Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. This faith God has given us, and for this we are grateful. Do you have a drag to the Word of God? Is it so? What have volumes of books to tell us? Everything is ticked off. We have come into the presence of God and have understood His speaking for this time. We opened ourselves and we could place the things scripturally. And this is a great grace. This not a brother has done. This God has done, whose Spirit is in our midst. Even a longing does not come from us. It is given to us by God, by grace. Things are not on the surface. Sometimes they are hidden a bit deeper. But the Spirit searches all things, even the deep things of God. Not your and my spirit, the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit leads us into all truth. And we may know the truth, and then the truth makes us free. And then we are known by God. What a grace. I must always say it. And this because I'm so overwhelmed. The divine harmony with Word, people of God, and covenant, and everything what goes with it, it could not be more perfect. Everything has God put in a wonderful order. Let us be placed into this glorious order of God. Then everything will run smoothly. Then there will be no sand in the gearbox. Then the oil of the Spirit will move the mechanism in the church. And then God will come to His right. Jesus Christ is the same, yesterday, today, and forever. Can we also believe that He wants to reveal Himself today amongst us as the same? It is one thing to just bring out the subject of faith and to say, yes, I believe that Jesus Christ is still the same today. This is one thing. But then to believe, because He is the same, He does the same today as He did then. Then the personal faith in action is required. And this is then a living faith, which can also show the works. And then the Word is accompanied by the divine confirmation. And great joy is among them who can experience the working of God. Our Lord, the Bridegroom of our soul, came and redeemed us and shared everything with us. As Son, He made us sons. The blessing of God, the life of God, the Word of God, the grace of God, the love of God, everything He shared with us. God in Christ, Christ in the Church, the same fullness of the Godhead which dwelt in Christ, it dwells in us. Thanks and honor be unto our God. Do we believe it with all our hearts? Can we say amen to it? I know that God has given us the grace to believe. It's a gift from God that we may believe as the Scripture has said. And because we believe as the Scripture says, it cannot fail that rivers of living waters flow. Hallelujah. We expect in these days that the Lord comes into our midst as the risen one, that we have a living encounter with the living and risen one, and that no one of us leaves here as we have come, but that we, by the encounter with the Lord, have become changed, different people. The sick shall go home well, for they are already healed. The captives shall go home delivered, for they are already delivered. The lost shall go home saved, for they are already saved. They just need to accept what God has prepared for them. And I would like to close with this one remark. Let us receive what is being said very personally. Let us not think perhaps he or she is meant. Let us be spoken to by God. And let us wake up and let us say to ourselves, Faithful Lord, today you didn't speak to anyone else. Today you have spoken to me. Today you meant me. Today you called me. Today I have opened my heart to you. Today I have heard your word. Today I come to you to have a personal encounter with you. If we are just generally among many and think, I will see what comes now, then nothing will come. But if we recognize that a personal relationship between us and God must be there, and that we seek this connection with God in prayer, what good is it for you, dear brother, precious sister, if 1 million would have the connection and you would not have it? God wants to make use of these days to bring us all in connection with Himself, under the blood of the Lamb, under the word of the covenant, under the power of the Holy Spirit. We submit ourselves under the mighty hand of God and say, Lord, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Amen. Let us stand up and worship. Thou art worthy to receive praise, honor, glory, and worship. Thou art worthy, O Lord. Hallelujah. Faithful Lord, I thank you once again for your sensible presence. Oh Lord, you are so nigh to us. Hallelujah. Honor, praise, and glory be to your wonderful name. Dear Lord, the last ones shall be called so that the number gets full and that you can return. You know your own, and we ask you, draw them to yourself and continue to bless us. You are worthy, and us also, the most miserable dust which exists on earth. Through the blood, you made us also worthy to bow before you and to worship you. The redeemed multitude will sing it one day in glory. O Lord, we thank you already here, for we are saved. We are pardoned. We have become children of God. Thank you for it. We just wait until we can put off this miserable tabernacle, crossing over into the resurrection body to be with you. Lord, I ask you, make us all still, also in the meantime, that nothing is talked down, but that we ponder on your words in our hearts, thinking about it, letting you continue to work. Do it, Lord, for the sake of your faithfulness, and bless your people. Hallelujah. Lord, you are so good to us. You are so faithful. You are wonderful. We thank you from the bottom of our hearts. In Jesus' name, amen.